audiences expect a much higher level of engagement from journalists than even just a couple of years ago. And also, it doesn't just have to be on your site. You know, people can take and criticize or praise your article on their own blogs. And now the picture of how you interact with your audience is much more complex.
This is PodTech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones on Marketing Voices. Today we have the blogs editor for The Guardian, and his name is Kevin Anderson. And The Guardian, for those of you that don't know it, is really the best daily newspaper on the World Wide Web. I've had the opportunity, as I have searched around, to really read it quite a bit, and I was very excited to have Kevin be able to join me today on Marketing Voices. So, Kevin, thank you very much for coming in, logging in, and talking to me.
Glad to be here, Jennifer.
Great. And what I wanted to talk to Kevin today about is a couple of things. I wanted to get a sense for what he is doing as the blogs editor for The Guardian, where he's responsible for management, strategy, and leading by doing for The Guardian Unlimited blogs. And then I also wanted to get his perspective on the importance of his job as it relates to the importance of a journalist's job and how blogging is really impacting the role of journalists. So it's sort of a two-tiered podcast today that we're going to get into two different subjects. So without any more ado, Kevin, can you give us a background on The Guardian first?
Well, The Guardian is one of the largest quality dailies, and in the UK, it's probably, as you say, one of the most forward-thinking newspapers in the UK as far as the internet goes. I mean, they've been online for coming up on 10 years. They launched their first blogs in 2001 and have built that up to a stable of, it depends on how you count it. We have 12 or 13 titles, but those are sort of huge, sprawling blog projects, kind of typical of what you might think of the Huffington Post. One is called Comment is Free, where in the last year since we launched it, there's been over 1,000 commenters, bloggers, a huge range of people commenting on all the topics under the sun that have been in the news. And we just a month ago launched a huge arts and entertainment blog, which is again very similar to Comment is Free, similar model where we've got art reviewers, film reviewers, theater, television, and radio talking about all kinds of cultural events in the UK and around the world. So, in a very, very forward-thinking paper, we know that our future is in getting closer to our audience, involving our audience more in what we do, and we also know that our future is multimedia. So that's one of the reasons why I left after 8 years with the BBC to join The Guardian, is because they are so forward-thinking, and it's exciting to be at a place that sees the future and wants to make it happen on a daily basis.
Do you think that other newspapers and publications should become much more like The Guardian?
I think so, and the interesting thing is that The Guardian is one of the national newspapers in the UK, so it covers or attempts to cover the entire UK, which is similar to sort of large regional papers here in the United States. I think actually we see at The Guardian many opportunities for us to build community into what we're doing, but I think there are even greater opportunities for smaller newspapers, hyper-local offerings. I mean, there are several projects in the United States. There's Bluffton Today in the Carolinas. It's done by my friend Steve Yelvington, which is one of the best community-stroke news projects in the country. There are several smaller projects, the Greeley Tribune in Colorado. There was a blogging editor there. So, interestingly enough, I mean, I think the large newspapers like The Guardian or The New York Times, The Washington Post are definitely getting into community, but you don't have to be huge to do these things. That's the great thing about blogging, is it's very simple and very inexpensive technology. And like I said, it gets you closer to your audience, which is quite honestly going to save your business these days in newspapers.
So besides what you've just brought up, how do you think blogging is really changing the role of journalists?
Well, it's interesting because I think one thing about blogging that's great is technology is so simple. Our journalists find it much easier to blog than to use our traditional content management systems. There are things we can do in the field now. And for 6 years, I was the Washington reporter and producer for the BBC News website, so bbcnews.com. So I know a lot about the challenges of getting information back from the website when you're in the field and now blogging just makes it so much easier. I think, though, that the bigger challenges for journalists really are cultural challenges. I think that Bruno Patino at Le Monde Interactif said it best when he says, our audience is in our newsroom now. And I think the cultural challenges actually far outweigh the technical challenges that we have.
What does that mean? Our audience is in the newsroom now. What does he mean?
Well, I think it means a lot of things. I think it means, the audiences can expect a right of response. When they see something in the newspaper now, they don't have to send off an angry letter to the letters page. They can leave a comment directly on the blog. And I think that audiences expect a much higher level of engagement from journalists than even just a couple of years ago. And also, it doesn't just have to be on your site. You know, people can take and criticize or praise your article on their own blogs. And now the picture of how you interact with your audience is much more complex. But whereas it used to be, I kind of joke, it used to be sort of like Moses delivering the tablets from the mountain. That's how we used to deliver journalism. It was basically a one-way process. You know, we deliver news, and occasionally they deliver letters back to us. And it was, publishing out and comments in. And now it's a much more dynamic, involved process where, I guess the way I say it to our journalists is, before you would write an authoritative piece because that's what you had to, get it out to press time and that was the best you could do. Now it's a much more complicated position. You might deliver a part of a piece at 11, build on it by 12, and another blog post, build on it by 3, take in users' comments, take in their experiences, and suddenly you have a much richer picture. Those journalists who do it right can do better journalism. Those journalists who resist it end up being in conflict with their audience, which is not where we want to be.
Interesting. So do you find that you've got people who agree with you that are sort of old-time journalists, or do they fight that, and then the younger people kind of are much more agreeable to this idea?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, a very famous blogger in the UK is Slugger O'Toole, which he's a journalist called Mick Fielty, and he writes for many of the mainstream publications in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, and he's very much a traditional journalist, and he's got a few years on me. But we met recently in a tavern in London, and we basically were singing from the same hymn sheet, very similar. I don't think it's sort of a young guns versus old establishment types. I do realize, though, that it is a future that's not evenly distributed in journalism. There are some people who, I have had our own journalist, The Guardian, saying, why do we let these people comment on our site? That's a minority opinion, thankfully, at The Guardian. But there are some people, some journalists who don't feel that we should be doing this, that it detracts from our brand, that it somehow detracts from their reputation if they're challenged on the blog. I'm not saying my opinion is the majority opinion. I think it's probably still maybe a bleeding edge opinion, but I think more and more journalists and editors and publishers are realizing that, this is the reality, this is the market that we deal with. It's not whether we'd like it to be different. This is just this is the reality we have to adjust to now.
Interesting. So in terms of like challenges that you're really facing, besides the ones you've already described, what else are you finding that's really driving you kind of crazy in this role that you're in as blogs editor for The Guardian?
Well, it's interesting because I think, there's traditionally editors are having to kind of rethink their role, or maybe I should probably more accurately say I'd like them to rethink their role. They're used to sort of carefully laying out pages and putting a lot of effort in commissioning writers to write things. And I kind of say to them, well, don't worry so much about the layout of the pages. I read the paper in an RSS feed, and I don't see all the pretty pictures, and it doesn't really matter to me. I'm more interested in the information, and there's a lot of people who are reading our blogs and RSS readers, and all that effort you're putting into layout is completely lost on them. So don't worry so much about that. Don't worry so much about the way that I say is that, interactivity trumps celebrity, which means I don't care if you have the biggest name in British comment. I care that you have a writer who is willing to engage with the audience and is willing to have a conversation. That's more important to me than having the biggest name on the planet who we have to pay lots of money to. So it's it is an argument that I still have to win in some cases, but I think the more that we're asking our audience to participate, the more that they're responding. And I think those help bolster my side of the argument. And at the end of the day, what we're really talking about is one definition of Web 2.0 that I've heard Tim Riley say is that the sites that win are the sites where the value for the user increases the greater of level of participation. So the more that we get people to participate, the more valuable they find the Guardian site, the more they'll keep coming back, the more they'll participate, and it's a great, you know, virtuous cycle. It's a great self-reinforcing business model. And I think that's where the real opportunities are. So it's a little bit lateral thinking for traditional editors, not to think so much about layout, but to think about interactivity, to focus on the audience, not just on what they think the finished product is, because in essence, really, the article used to be the finished product. Now it's just one step in the process.
Very, very interesting. So well said. So how do people approach you? Just a few more questions before we end. In terms of, you know, PR people go after editors and, you know, send them pitch notes and all of that. And I know that they've asked me, well, do you actually, you know, email you? Do you call you? Do you put an entry on your blog? How do people approach you?
Well, my better half, Sue Charman, who writes on our blog, Strange Attractor, she is into PR blogging. And you know, we look at it this way. I mean, if we write a blog post and we say, here's a problem I'm having, and it relates to a product that you have, we're probably going to be more interested if you help us solve a problem we've talked about on our blog or talked about online. You know, pitches from the middle of nowhere on products we're only vaguely interested in, that just is our spam filter, to be perfectly honest. But I think, too, it's what I tell my journalists, that, you know, another rule that we have is customer relationship management, and that is if somebody has a problem with our site, we have to be responsive. You know, if somebody has praise for our site, that's great, but if somebody has something they'd like to work better, we have to respond to that. And, you know, maybe we can't respond tomorrow, but we at least need to let people know that we're responsive. And, you know, if the blog that we write was recently listed by Edelman PR as one of the 50 most influential in the UK, and now suddenly we're getting all of these PR pitches to evaluate products, and that's not really why we blog.
Yeah, so, no kidding.
And so, you know, some of it is not really... is not really well placed. We'll praise products that we like and that we use, but we don't necessarily have the time to evaluate a bunch of products. So I guess the thing is, and it's a, well, just as I think that, you know, journalism is a much more complicated proposition than it was in the past, I think public relations is much more complicated. But if you can, through monitoring blogs, you know, and monitoring how your brand's talked about in blogs, be responsive to your customers, you know, that's where you have to be. And I'll give you a perfect example. So Sue and I recently fixed our iBook, and we use these guides online, ifixit.com. And we made a little time-lapse video of it, and we sent it off to the CEO. The next day, the CEO, we sent it off to their support line. We didn't know who we were sending it off to. It was just a web form. The CEO responds the next day saying, this is great. Can we use it with music and send you a couple T-shirts? We're like, yeah, that's great. And now we're going to be happy customers. That's the kind of just little thing, and whether it's pitching to me as the blogs editor or whether it's pitching to, you know, everyone else. I mean, the way that I look at it, here's the thing is, you know, the tools that we can build into the Guardian website where our customers actually become our biggest advocates online and spread Guardian content and the Guardian brand online, that's great. You know, whether it's through delicious bookmarks or Dig or Reddit or whatever, that's brilliant. So I want my customers to be my greatest salesman, if you will.
Okay, so wait, Kevin. So in terms of, just quickly before we end the podcast, so the best way to get to you is you'd sort of summarize it for us.
Well, the best way is if I write a blog post on my personal blog or somewhere on The Guardian and you know, and you think you have a product that can solve a problem, that's probably, I'm going to respond to that.
Okay.
If you just send me an unsolicited pitch, that's spam to me.
Okay, so anyway, I really thank you for our participation. I feel like we could go on for hours here, but what I'd like to do is just ensure that people know, you know, how to find The Guardian. If you could just give us the, you know, your blog, that would be great.
Well, the main Guardian site is just guardian.co.uk, and you can find all our blogs at blogs.guardian.co.uk.
Okay, perfect. So I've been talking to Kevin Anderson, who's the blogs editor for The Guardian, and he's taken this job just about 2 months ago, and he's responsible for the management strategy and the leading by doing at The Guardian. Thank you very much, Kevin, for being on Marketing Voices.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
You're welcome. And for all of the listeners, until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.